We've been talking about spiritual warfare. This is part 6, like I said. But you know, we do warfare, spiritual warfare, for people. Against the devil, for people. Come on, against the devil, for people. The Bible says we wage warfare not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, rulers of darkness, etc. The devil has people bound in fear and in turmoil, in sin and condemnation, in grief and heartache, because the Bible says, understand it clearly, that the devil is a liar, a thief, a murderer from the beginning. He has nothing good in mind for you. So to yield to temptation, to say to yourself, the only answer for my life is suicide, that is nothing more than the devil speaking to someone's life to try to get you to destroy yourself. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the what? The life. He's got life for each of us. Warfare for people against the devil. And there's the biggest problem in our society, our angry, chaotic society right now, where people polarize on sides of issues and say, you're wrong, and hate one another for beliefs. Now, there used to be opportunity to have civil discourse in our nation and to disagree agreeably. And that's the way our system of government in our country is set up to be. But even higher than that is to recognize when we go to God in prayer, we are not fighting against a person, but there oftentimes is a spirit that leads someone to a wrong direction. God is for life. Come on, someone say amen.
Amen.
And so when we watched Friday night, if you watched the television, a four-prop Horizon airplane fly and do loop-de-loops and barrel rolls by a 29-year-old man who was a 3.5-year length employee at Horizon, who chose not to return and land that plane. You watched tragically, and it makes God and you and me angry at the deception that was embedded in someone's mind, that he was better ending his life than surrendering his life to the God who loves him so much. We pray now for a family that's devastated. Thank God he chose to not take that plane down in a metropolitan area where so many could have lost their lives. But it's a heartache that this one man did. It was said about him that Bebo, he liked to be known as, was warm and compassionate. He was a faithful husband, a loving man, a good friend. A childhood friend remarked he was loved by everyone because he was kind and gentle. And his family says now it's a complete shock. We are devastated by these events, and Jesus is truly the only one holding this family together right now. Without Jesus, we would be hopeless. No one needs to go in that direction. I don't care if you're from Port Townsend, Port Hadlock, Chemicum, Irondale, Port Ludlow, Port Gamble, Port Angeles, Squim, Silverdale, Paul. I don't care where you're from. Jesus loves you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The scripture goes on to say in John 3:16-17, what? For he sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. I got radically saved when I was 16. I gave my life to the Lord when I was 14. And I kept thinking that I had one end of that deal, and I kept pulling on the rope to go back in another way. The reality is, when I gave my life to Jesus, it was to have been a full surrender. And when I was 16, I discovered that, and I surrendered to Jesus. And my life has never been the same. Have I sinned since then? Church, the answer is?
Yes.
What do you mean? Yeah, I have. But I thank God for the merciful, gracious God who loves me and radically changed my life. Aren't you glad that your life is different than it used to be? Come on, those that love you most know the most that you're not quite yet like Jesus yet. But thank God that Jesus who made you looks at you and says, yeah, but I still love you. And I have a plan for your life. Well, we're talking about spiritual warfare, putting on the whole armor of God. And the Ephesians were an incredibly spiritually wealthy people who had forgotten all of the good things God had done for them. The first three chapters of Ephesians are all about their spiritual wealth. As the Apostle Paul, like a father, reminds them, wait a minute, you've got this treasure. You've got this inheritance. You've got the grace of God in your life. You're spiritually wealthy. And the last three chapters are all about walking out that spiritual wealth. Now that he had reminded them. And he tells them how to do it. Because sometimes we look at each other and we go, how? How do I do this, Lord? How do I put on the whole armor of God? Has anybody ever wondered that question? Come on, how do I do this? Number one, let's face it this morning, find out some thoughts. You are empowered by Jesus. Say, I am empowered by Jesus to do so. What does that mean? It means when you've given your life to the Lord, when you've surrendered your life to Jesus, when he's taken your sins and he's put his love and grace and mercy inside of you, you are empowered by him to live this life. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. Wait. What do I do? How do I do? What does it mean? Strong. The Greek word is endunumao. Endunumao. And it means literally to empower. Be strong. Be empowered in the power of his might. That Greek word is kratos. And it means in his vigor. In Jesus' dominion, his power. How can I be empowered? I understand that he's put his vigor, his encouragement, his life inside my heart. And if the devil comes along, to try to condemn you, then you get to say, get out of here in Jesus' name. I got power in me. And it's not from me, it's from Jesus. Aren't you glad?
Yes.
Next week, I want you to come back. And we'll finish up the message. Thank you for coming. No. Next week, I want you to come back and we're going to talk more about who we're fighting with. We're going to go into the scriptures and learn more about what this means when the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness. Because the devil has managed to deceive billions of people and steal their life. And we need to understand we're wrestling in warfare against the devil and for people. Amen? So, you be sure to come next week and we'll learn some more about it. In the power of his might, in the vigor of his, literally the word is ikous, and it is force, in his forcefulness. Remember, your spiritual walk is rooted in your spiritual wealth in Christ. Now, if you haven't given your life to Jesus yet, you don't have that power activated in your life. So what do you need to do? You need to say, I see it. I'm a sinner. I'm lost without him. Maybe you're like me. Maybe, I know a few of you in this room and you were like me. No matter how perfect you tried to be, you just couldn't do it. Turn to each other and say, you were less perfect than me, I know. No, you don't have to. No, you don't have to do that. No, the point is, we all had needs. None of us were perfect. But thank God for his grace. Now, that's what you can turn to each other and say, thank God for the grace of Jesus. That's what you can encourage each other in. Your spiritual walk, rooted in your spiritual wealth in Christ, now be empowered. Literally, that phrase means be enabled in the Lord in the vigor, dominion, and strength of his forcefulness and ability. Listen, what kind of force we're talking about here? Well, the Bible says he spoke into existence all of creation. He just spoke it. He's got the total defeat of the devil. Totally. At the cross of Christ, he died, he was buried, he rose again on the third day, triumphing over the devil and darkness and sin. And the devil is totally defeated. Come on, someone say, totally defeated. He has full power over everything and anything that the devil tries to throw on you to take you off the path of God. And anything that the devil tries to put you under, in sway, in dominion, addiction, or influence, Jesus has defeated at the cross of Calvary and in his resurrection. Matthew 28. Jesus spoke saying, how much? I'm sorry, can't hear you. How much?
All.
Come on, boom it out. What does it say?
All
authority has been given to me, Jesus, in heaven and on earth. So now, in that power, you go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. When you belong to Jesus, in him, there's resurrection power. What tempts you is defeated. What defeats you has already been defeated. What discourages you, makes you downcast, and condemns you, has been defeated already and destroyed. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. What does the scripture say? 1 Corinthians 10, 13. It's not up there. I'm just turning around for exercise. Oh, that one is up there. First one is New King James I'm going to read. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. You know, sometimes we're tempted to think, oh man, nobody else faces what I'm going through. Come on, ever thought that? Nobody else is going through any of this. But he says, everybody's going through this. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above what you are able, but with the temptation will also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. So you're going to get tempted, everybody's facing it, and Jesus makes the way to escape. Now watch it out of the Passion Translation. We all experience times of testing, which is normal for every human being. But God will be faithful to you. He will screen and filter the severity, the nature, and the timing of every test or trial you face so that you can bear it. He sees you. He knows you. Now, in school, sometimes I had a teacher or two that liked to trick us. Come on, anybody else? You have pop quiz! So I like to pop right out the door. But I didn't. But why do you take a test? To prove that you can pass the material you've just been learning. So you learn, then comes the test, right? I have to confess, I remember when I was a seventh grader, I lived in 28 places before I was 18. We were on the move. What was your parents' career? They were movers? No, not really. We were just on the road all the time. And I remember going to Pocatello, Idaho, sitting in a class for Idaho State History. Maybe I was eighth grade. And my first class was the day of a test. And I said, in my heart of hearts, thank God I ain't going to have to take this one. I haven't learned, I don't know anything about Idaho history. And the teacher says, I want you to take the test just so I can see what you know. And, of course, you can imagine my non-rebellious spirit being so pleased at that. So I cheated. Not good on my part. But I had a person who had mercy next to me, kept going like this. And I was too tempted to not do this. When I came out with a really good score, the prof walked up and the teacher walked up and hands him the paper back. He goes, it's interesting to see how much you know about Idaho having never lived here. I was guilty. But the normal part of a test is material and then you're tested. Why? In Jesus, it's always this way, never to trick you. But when a test comes, it's to help you know and see that you can pass the test. And the Bible says he'll never allow you to be tested above what you can bear. Because he wants you to have victory. He's changing you and me to make his victory your practice. This impacts what you think, what you say, and what you do. Someone add the last phrase. Say it out loud with me. By His grace. Romans 5 verse 17 out of the New King James. You don't have to put it up there yet, Pat. For if by the one man's offense death reigned through the one, through Adam, much more those who receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign, R-E-I-G-N, reign like a king in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Now watch it out of the Passion. Death once held us in its grip, and by the blunder of one man, death reigned as king over humanity. But now, how much more are we held in the grip of grace? I love that, don't you? Come on, we are held in the grip of grace and continue reigning as kings in life, enjoying our regal freedom through the gift of perfect righteousness in the one and only Jesus, the Messiah. As Pastor Sherry was preaching really this morning. Fantastic opening, Pastor Sherry. She was preaching. Who gives you that righteousness? Is it yours? Is it just what you do? You're such a nice goody two shoes. You're perfect. Absolutely not. We are righteous through His righteousness. We're forgiven by His forgiveness. And we have mercy because He's been so good. His wraparound love will surround you. She said this morning, the scripture, Psalm 32 says, how many can just envision, doesn't that give you a good picture? How many love the fact God wraps His great big arms around you? His wraparound love will surround you. So what do? The scripture says, celebrate the goodness of God. It's powerful. Okay. All right, Pastor Kev. I get it. His provision is mine. That's good truth. Preach it, brother. But I live on planet Earth every day. Spiritual attack, problems, condemnation are real. So how do I live empowered by Jesus? What do I do? By the way, I want to encourage you, always watch where we're going week by week as we gather together and go to the Word of God. The first lesson in this series, if you remember, was on having what? The mind of Christ, the helmet of salvation. We gave you a very easy, user-friendly way when attacking or condemning or wrong, deceitful thoughts come about things to do, whether to do yourself in or whatever it might be. What do? If you have to, lay hands on your own head and declare, I have the mind of Christ. When temptation comes, you know that temptation has nothing good for you. What do? Lay hands on your own head and declare, I have the mind of Christ. Realize this deals with what you think. What you think. I have the mind of Christ. Powerful. We have His mind. We're cleaned by His blood. We get His thoughts. And you don't have to choose to believe or receive the accusation or condemnation of the devil. Choose to believe the report of the Lord. Amen? Amen. Messages 2, 3, and 4 were on the sword of the Lord. What is the sword of the Lord? The Word of God. The Word of God. Study and love and lavish in and devour the Word of God to see His Word. And the Bible says, study to show yourself approved. 2 Timothy 2 verse 15. Study to show yourself approved. And in the Greek, that literally means like a surgeon with a scalpel to rightly divide the Word of truth. So you make a clear incision and you understand. Peel back the layers and understand what does that Word, the Word of God, mean in my life? How do I apply it to my life? How do I appropriately understand what the Bible teaches? And we understand the sword and the Word of God is the offense weapon. All the armor you put on, but the only offensive weapon is the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. Jesus defeated the devil, remember? When the devil came, he even quoted scripture at Jesus. What did Jesus do? Quoted the right scripture in the right way, with the right understanding. And then the devil was defeated. When you come to church, grab one of these pamphlets. Grab one of them here because it says we welcome you. On the back, notes. If you don't take notes, I want to encourage you. Grab a pencil and paper with your Bible and just even write down the scripture references we talked about. So when you go home, you can review those scriptures and take a look again at what did the Lord say to you through the Word of God and review them. Word in,
word out.
Resist the devil and he what?
Flees
from you. That's what the Bible says in the book of James. The Passion Translation says, resist the devil and he will turn and run away from you. That's what the Bible says. This deals with what you say. What you say. AWG. Do I have your attention? AWG. Come on, say it with me. AWG. Pronounced. And it means? What does it mean? Agree with God. Agree with God. Agree with God. Agree with His Word. Agree with His Word. Last week we talked about the peace of God. About having the preparation of the gospel of peace right in your own heart and life. And it really deals with, it talks about in the Bible, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Remember the sandals have nails or spikes in them, those old Roman soldiers' sandals. And it helped them be the strongest army in the world at the time. Because they made traction and fast tracks, and as they stood in warfare, they stood their ground with solidity, with strength, with a sense of security. I'm not getting blown off track or beaten off track by the devil. I get to stand up and be strong in the peace of God. He's changing me to make His provision my practice. How? Put on. Put on the whole armor of God. I'm going to talk about this for just a quick minute here. Ephesians 6:11. Put on the whole armor of God. It doesn't say put on part of the armor of God. It doesn't say put on your armor or whatever you think's best. It doesn't say go do it your own way. It says put on God's armor and then put on all the armor. Remember we talked last week about don't run out of the house without your pants on? Sure glad you all wore your pants this morning. Ephesians 4:22-25. Out of the New King James, watch this, that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man. Put off the old, put on the new, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, because you've now put on the new man, putting away lying, and it goes on to identify other things. Colossians 3:10, put on the new man. Who's renewed in knowledge according to the image of Him who created him. Jesus changes you and me by His grace. We confess, repent of the old, and here's the image of Scripture. So I want you to get this image about what does it mean to put on. The Greek literally means you sink into new robes of righteousness. How many have ever bought new clothes? How many think you need to buy more? No. Every lady's hand in the room goes up, right? Always they're going to need more. What do? You sink into the new. If it's comfortable, do you ever feel like that? You just sink into that new. If I put on a shirt that's too tight, I just won't wear it. If I put on a shirt that's comfortable and it fits right, it's like sinking right into it. Okay. I'll wear that one till it's ripped up and my wife says, please throw it away. I'm still sinking into it. You sink into new robes of righteousness because Jesus puts them on you. They fit right. They're clean. You take off the old dirty rags. You put on the new. The Bible says, receive every piece of armor. It's yours. See yourself with the mind of Christ when you wake up in the morning. See yourself slipping into the helmet of salvation. See yourself putting on the feet that are shod with the preparation of the gospel of truth. See yourself with the truth girt around your loins. That's what the Bible says. Listen, about your mind, you know the old phrase, don't you? You can't stop the birds from flying overhead, but you can stop them from building a nest in your hair. Okay? You can't stop the birds from flying overhead, but you can stop them from building a nest in your hair. You don't have to let the thoughts go on. Use the sword of the Spirit. Get out in Jesus' name. I've got the mind of Christ. Thrust the Word of God right back. what you think, what you say. See it, believe it, declare it. Now, what is all this called? There's a word for all of this. Putting on. How do we do it? How do we do it? There's a word for all of this. Now, a year ago, we were finishing up launching your faith. I highly urge you, if it's been a while since you've heard it or you've never listened to it, go to our website, which is gracechristiancenter.us. There's 13 lessons there, a few introductory lessons as well, about putting on and walking in the new. And there is a lesson in there, and the Greek word and the word in the Bible that we are talking about. How do we put on all of this? The word is called reckon. Say it with me. Reckon. I reckon. How you feeling this morning? I'm feeling great, I reckon. How do you look this morning? You're looking good, I reckon. Reckon. It's a Greek word. And it's every bit as powerful as it was when we first talked about it. Romans 10, verse 8. But what does it say? The word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. It's vital, you guys. I know it's quiet in here, but I cannot impart to you enough as your pastor. If you want to walk in this, right here. How many want to walk in this? Yeah. Reckon. Yeah. Reckon. What does it mean? Reckon is the Greek word logizomai. I don't know if it's going to come up or not. I don't think it does. Yeah, maybe it does. Reckon. Logizomai. It literally means to take an inventory. It is a system of divine bookkeeping. Now, let me just give you an example. Some of you know I'm a small businessman. I have a real estate office. And at that real estate office, I got the best bookkeeper in the West. The cutest one, too. I just happened to marry her. That's my bride, Pastor Sherry. She's my bookkeeper. She works super hard. Why? And she takes lots of time to make sure every penny is reconciled. And on top of that, I've got a CPA firm that takes what we have done, works with us, helps us if there's anything we don't get or understand, and they prepare the quarterly taxes so we don't get in trouble with the IRS. And at the end of the year, they produce more tax forms, and there's more tax money, and we could really get in that. There's more tax money that goes. But you need to know, if I don't have every penny reconciled to the penny on some of those things, I could not only lose my license, they could kick me out of real estate. Church, if it is that important for a small business, how much more important do you think it is for your walk with Jesus to reckon on what he says you have and that he's done? Come on, can you get it with me? It is crucial. Reckon yourselves. What are you supposed to reckon on? That I'm dead to sin, but I'm alive to God through Jesus Christ my Lord. Come on, I am dead to sin, but I'm alive to God. Oh, come on, Pastor Kev, you can't get dead to sin. Well, what report are you going to believe? Going to believe the report that the devil's a giant, big, toothy, horrible thing chasing you down? Or you're going to believe Jesus already defeated that wicked thing? Get out in Jesus' name. I stand in the victory God has given me. What are you going to choose to believe? See and declare through divine bookkeeping what he has done. And now because of it, watch what we get to do. Watch. Therefore, don't let sin reign in your mortal body. Message. You must not give sin a vote in the way you conduct your lives. Don't give it the time of day. Reckon on what Jesus has done. And because of what he's done, now make the right choice. How do we do this, Pastor Kev? We reckon. We understand. We declare. Out of the heart, the mouth speaks. It comes out of our mouth. We declare and we receive by faith what he has done. The next one says, The passion. Sin is a dethroned monarch. You must no longer give it as an opportunity or give it an opportunity to rule over your life, controlling how you live and compelling you to obey its desires and cravings. So then refuse to answer its call. Come on, say it with me. Refuse to answer its call to surrender your body as a tool for wickedness. Instead, passionately answer God's call to keep yielding your body to Him as one who has now experienced resurrection life. Church, have you experienced resurrection life? You live now for His pleasure, ready to be used for His noble purpose. Remember this, sin will not conquer you, for God already has. You're not governed by the law, but governed by the reign of the grace of God. What am I here to tell you this morning? You know, Pastor Kev, this is rehearsal. Yeah? Yeah, maybe. We'll keep rehearsing the Word of God till we get it, right? You know, in dentistry or in medicine, they call it the practice of medicine. They keep practicing until they hopefully get it right, right? And I thank God for them. But in our walk with the Lord, we keep walking. And if we make a mistake, if we sin, if we err, thank God for Jesus Christ, the gift of God, His righteousness, His forgiveness, His mercy. Thank God you get to now have a system of divine bookkeeping where you go, wait a minute, when I confess and repent, that sin is taken out of my column. And that righteousness in Jesus' column, that's been transferred into my account. I am now wealthy in Jesus Christ. 5 years ago, 8 years ago, there was an article that showed up in an Irish newspaper about a little old man who used to come around to this resort community every 7 months or every year for about 7 months. And he was bronzed and tanned because he mostly lived outside all the time. But he was disheveled and had one outfit. That's all they ever saw. And he would spend his time walking up to what were pay booths or toll booths or whatever and scamper around for the remaining change. And he would go on buses, the free transportation or transportation when he paid a little bit for it. He would find tickets where there was a reimbursing thing on it. He'd pick them off the ground and he'd go get his reimbursements. And it turned out this man had been hurt many years earlier. He'd had a good job earlier in his life, but somebody borrowed $200 for them and never gave it back and changed his entire life. And he lived his life disheveled and all this ongoing junk. Never got married, single. That's not a problem. If you're single in here, what are you saying? No, single's great, no problem. But this hurt in his life is what kept him away from people. Never trusted anybody. And when he died, they looked into it and found he had $1 million stashed away in his accounts. But here's a man who didn't reckon on what he had. One other story and then I'm done. It's a woman in the Civil War who bought a lot of Civil War bonds. And obviously on the right side of things because they were still valuable. She ended up in those days having $200 to $300 million, which was about $2 to $3 billion today. And her son needed medical treatment desperately, had a terrible infection in his leg. And this woman would live scrounging from place to place, and she spent so much time trying to make sure her son could get into free medical treatment that by the time he finally got treatment, they had to amputate his leg because she wouldn't spend what she had. Do you follow what I'm saying? Church, God has invested so much inside of us that what He tells us to do is put on the whole armor of God. Walk in your spiritual wealth and in your spiritual health because of what He's given to you and me. Would you stand with me? I'm trading my sorrows, the song says. I'm trading my shame. I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord, because He has invested so much in us. We have the opportunity to walk in the new. And I pray today that as you've been rehearsed now in the opportunity for reckoning, that you'll leave this place knowing all that Jesus has done for you, and that you'll reckon on the good things, which that's how you put on. You understand when you wake up in the morning, thank God I'm wearing the mind of Christ, and I've got the mind of Christ, the helmet of salvation. Thank God I'm tooled up and I'm armored up by the grace of God. Are you glad? The song goes like this. Thank you, Lord, that we get to declare your word is true. And we get to say this morning that we believe the report of the Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you're our healing God, our gracious God, our God who cares and who loves us, who does more and above and beyond all that we can ask or think. Thank you, Lord, that you've seen every one of us here in this place this morning. Now, if you're here this morning and you've not surrendered your life to Jesus, I urge you, this is your day to do it. Ask Him to come into your heart to be your Lord and Savior. If you have already done that, this is a day for you to rejoice, because He has done so much for you and for me. Amen?
Amen.
Reckon on that. Believe His word, because He's so good. Lord, we thank you again that your word is great, and that you're true and full of life. And we receive you by grace through faith in Jesus' name. And they all said,
amen.
Would you raise your hands for the blessing, please? If you're here this morning and you need prayer, there'll be people up here to pray for you. If you need a release in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, people will be here to pray for you. If you need healing, there'll be people here to pray for you. But above all, go in the joy of the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. In Jesus' name, and they all said,
amen.
Amen. Be released to the joy of the Lord. Amen.